Hello.
What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Not too much, having a good morning, trying to have a relaxing 4th of July.
Absolutely. Oh, it's been a lovely week for me, taking a break, but also, I just saw this new episode of High School DD
Oh, really?
Hero. Yeah, so definitely going to be doing a last episode video for that. I think that's the last episode. You never know with anime. They might come out with like three other episodes next week.
Oh, nice.
I'm very glad to be on your station, man, and get to talk to your fans and it's really fun.
Absolutely. So, for those listening, this is the Anime Storytelling Podcast. Very special shout out to our first time listener. This is the podcast where we talk about how anime music, and everything else in between inspires us to become better storytellers. And I am joined by none other than Animunga Nation. So, did you want to introduce yourself personally for a little bit, and then we can dive right into it about character development and all that?
Absolutely. My name is Anime Savage. I run the podcast Animanga Nation. And what we do on Animanga Nation is that we talk about news, things in the mainstream and also in the indie world. So I like to talk about new artists, new people who are creating manga and anime, as well as I'm working on my own manga as well. And
Really?
in the future, the station is not only going to be on Anchor and other platforms as well. It's available on iTunes and on Google Play. So if you have an iPhone or Android, it doesn't matter. You can still listen to us. And I'm going to have a YouTube channel as well. I'm going to be talking about how character development is, how to write your own characters. And I'm going to have some artists as well join. Particularly, I'm going to have an artist named Takio the Bandit. She's going to school you guys on what is good art and what's bad art, what you guys should be practicing, and all that other good stuff. So a lot of information for people who want to actually make manga, as well as people who are just getting into anime and you guys don't know what the heck we're talking about or why this character is so beloved, or why this character's when he punches is so significant. So we'll definitely explain those for those beginner fans.
All right, sounds great to me, man. And I mean, I think it's great that you're developing the show so much, especially in a time where people are getting a lot more interested in learning how to draw anime and manga and develop their own characters. So I feel like this is just in the nick of time.
Right, absolutely. I think that it was like when I started the podcast, I kind of jumped the gun and I was so into the news, and I started noticing that people are not understanding what I was talking about when I was doing all the news articles. So I
Okay.
was like, it would be definitely more better for people to know what a tsundere is, or know how to draw Goku, or know how to write a actual good male protagonist, or know the difference between a hero and a protagonist.
Sure.
So, I think that not only would that help them in writing their own anime or creating their own manga, but also writing in general. I mean, we also
Yeah.
have light novels that don't have any pictures at all. So, for a writer or for an artist that's coming up, I will say this to anybody who thinks that drawing anime is difficult, it's not. You can definitely draw anything as long as you practice. It's all everything deals with practice and time.
Sure.
You're not going to draw Goku when you start day one. It's going to
Right.
be maybe stick figures with maybe like some frizzy hair, but then after a while you take your time and look at the mechanics of how you draw that character or how that character came to be, and you'll definitely know that you can actually do it, because I didn't think I could do it when I was younger. I didn't think I could draw these things. And then the next thing you know, my drawing skills have definitely improved. My writing skills are my strength, but my drawing skills are weak. So, I just keep practicing and eventually I'll get to where I want to be. But let's get on with this character design, because man, have I been waiting to talk about this.
Absolutely, man. And I mean, I know we've been back and forth over voicemail about when we're going to finally get to do this. So now that we're finally doing it, I feel like, let's dive right into it. I mean, it's 4th of July. It might as well have a celebration of some sort.
Right. Absolutely.
You know? So this kind of fits right in with some stuff I was doing on Instagram yesterday. Where we were talking about character development. And if you don't mind me just talking about that for a bit. Yesterday I was talking about how Spike Spiegel is probably one of the coolest characters in anime that we know. And one of the reasons that he's able to maintain that reputation of coolness is because of the backstory that he's given. You know, from the beginning, we know that he's part of some syndicate. We later find out that it's Red Dragon and what he went through with all that, and how he was pretty much used to being around violence and death and assassination, and how he pretty much faked his own death just to get away from the syndicate. And when you have a crazy backstory like that, the idea that you're going to be a cool character almost comes naturally, because once you've seen that kind of craziness in your life, it's going to take a whole lot more to phase you at all, which is what makes Spike so convincing as a cool character, because he has that crazy backstory. So one thing that I want to talk about as far as character development is concerned is making sure that the story that we give our characters is always, it always lends a hand to how we're portraying them now.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is that a lot of times we, especially with us writers, I have to, sorry, all the writers, but we got to own up for this. Sometimes we as writers have too much of imagination, and we don't look at what or who our character is, and we'll just throw them in.
Right.
You look at, for example, some of the stereotypes where you'll have this character that is completely opposite to the world of what they're in, and their backstory doesn't even make sense. It's like, wait a minute, why? What? They're supposed to be this rebel, but then their backstory will have them as this rich kid. So they're like, wait, how does that work? I mean, you can make those two things work, and you can make that somewhat of a story, but when they don't actually take the time to make sure that the character is actually having a similar backstory to their characteristic, it kind of just confuses you, and you're kind of wondering what the heck is going on. One of the tropes that I do not like is the, you know, the clueless jerk, you know, the male tsundere, and the way they portray the male tsundere, and is that they make him, and they all, this also goes for the female, they make them so ignorant, but then like the character goes through all this abuse and all this hatred, only to like maybe get a couple of episodes where finally they kiss or finally they show their affection.
Right.
And it's weird. It's like, it's so overplayed. These tropes of, you know, tsundere, dere-dere, all these types of tropes have been so overplayed that it just gets boring. And I don't know what you might say about that, but it's really, really boring when I see this over and over and over again.
I'm definitely with you on that, man. The whole tsundere thing gets pretty annoying for me. So when I see it, I'm almost tempted to turn it off. But you were saying you're coming out with your own manga. Perhaps you'd like to offer an example of one of your favorite characters that you're working on and the backstory you set up for them.
Okay. One of the characters, I mean, there's many characters with lovely backstories, but
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and I was going to go with a male, but I'm going to go with a female. Okay. Now, one of the characters is named Lana Luscious. She is the god of love and pleasure. Okay. And her kingdom has a bad rap. Her mother, who was the previous god of love and lust and pleasure, she was very ignorant to people. She was very lustrous. She was very sexual, so she didn't really do the love part. She more did the pleasure and lust part. And where now this daughter of hers is trying to be very very cut and clean, you know, she's not trying to allow herself to do anything sexual. She's trying to be this perfect paragon of what a love goddess should be, you know. Right. But throughout the story, she realizes that she's just a shell of herself. You know, you cannot hide who you are, regardless of whether you had a backwards past or not. And she struggles through this throughout throughout the series. You know, it's where she doesn't want to fall in love, but she does want to fall in love. But it's where she's battling between these emotions. And then when she is attracted to somebody, or she is attracted to one of the male characters, she's fighting off these emotions and she's trying to keep herself professional. And it's where she's struggling to figure out whether she wants to let that part of herself out, or does she want to keep it in? An example of this will be Aragorn from Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
He was so scared of him, of being taken over by the Ring of Power, because his father before him was taken over by the Ring of Power. So throughout the movie, he was so afraid of becoming that king that was taken over by the power, that he would fall and all humankind would fall. And his girlfriend at the time, I don't remember her name, but would continue to comfort him and say, no, that's not going to be you. You're different. You're better. So I think it's where this character that I'm writing has to find out, is she going to sit here for the rest of her life and ignore who she is? Or she's going to embrace herself and allow herself to be really not only a true person, but an actual woman.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds very real, because I think about the idea of knowing what your parents are and saying to yourself, well, I don't want to be that, so I'm going to do everything in my power to not be that. But then, after a while, you start to see some traits in yourself that are exactly like what you don't want to be, that your parents have. And that, I think that's always a very relatable issue to deal with. So, yeah, what's your character's name again?
Lana Luscious. She is the now the character. The manga is named Elon, God's Most High. So,
okay,
you would call her the Elon, the love Elon of lust and pleasure. And Elon means God Most High. So when you say it, you can say Elon of lust, the love and power. It doesn't matter. But the proper way that I say it is love Elon. So love God Most High of pleasure and lust. And I particularly like male characters that have a little bit of more depth to them, particularly the ones that are not the typical virtuous, strong characters like the Terminator, particularly the one that Arnold Schwarzenegger played, like Goku, like One Punch Man, like Kirito. We've all seen those characters where they're so overpowered and they're so virtuous and nice. And I get it. You know, it's something that works. It sells books. It makes, you know, it gives that characteristic of I can be anything and I can do anything as long as I'm a good, strong male. But mm-hmm. I like the characters like Deku and Gon, and even Belle. I'll even put Belle in there from Is It Okay to Hit on Girls from a Dungeon?
Right.
Belle is very, very, I mean, you look at Belle, he's not the strongest dude. He's young, naive. He's really too nice to people. And he has a fear of the Minotaur, unfortunately, which was one of my favorite mythological beasts. So when he killed it, it's kind of like a little sad, like, why you gotta kill my beast, man? But when you follow his character, you can see the humanity in Belle. You can see that especially when he fought the monster, the first monster in the alleyway, you can see that he wants to be strong and he wants to not be a burden to Hestia. So he fights with all that he has against this monster to save her life. You know, he fights all that he has, especially when he goes into the cave with the support and the sword maker, and they get trapped. He doesn't just say, oh, well, I'm going to die, we're all trapped. He goes, I'm going to have to keep pushing forward, whatever we deal with, we're going to have to deal with, you know. And you can see through that scene, all of them are injured, they're tired, and at this point, they shouldn't even be moving, but they continue on and make it to the safe zone. That's a character that has depth.
Sure.
Deku is a character that has depth, where you see him as a person who was a human and didn't have a quirk, but now, because of his selfless act in front of All Might, All Might decided to pass on All for One to him and give him a quirk to make him become a hero, and he can fulfill his dream of becoming a hero like All Might. And I think
you mean One for All, right?
One for All, I'm sorry. And that's what I like about a character, when they are, when you can see the humanity in them. Characters like Superman, unless you put kryptonite in front of him, you're not going to see much weakness. You know, he's going to be very strong, and he's going to be overpowered coming in. If you put Superman in a room, you're going to feel a little bit intimidated because he's the strongest man in the world. You know, Goku is very, very, now he's very, very strong after gaining Ultimate Instinct. Mm-hmm. So those characters, despite that they're good characters, I mean, Goku is still a good, one of the best characters. But the reason why I would say I gravitate more to Vegeta is because Vegeta understands what's going on around him. You know, he understands that, okay, I'm not gonna, he understands what it is to be a human. You can see that in Vegeta. And what I'm, another example with that is Goku has always been ahead of Vegeta. You know, he's always been one step ahead. And Vegeta, and no matter how hard Vegeta fights, no matter how much more technical advantages he has, I mean, no matter how much more strategies that Vegeta knows, Goku is always one step ahead of him. And that gives Vegeta a human relation to him. He's more relatable, because we've all been there, where we've seen a person where they're just one step ahead of us every single time. We just can't catch up. And it's so frustrating, because here we're working our behinds off to try to catch up with this person or surpass them, and here we are still at level one or still at level two, and here they're beyond where we could even reach. And you know, you look at that throughout the DBZ series as well as the movies.
Yeah.
And especially, I forgot which one it was, but I think it was the DBZ movie where they were fighting the creature Janimpa, if you know that particular movie.
I've seen the majority of that movie.
Mm-hmm. And if you see a scene, it's where Janimpa changes into his second form, and he gives Goku a run for his money in Super Saiyan 3 form. So Vegeta shows up and helps him out, and they hide into like this cave of spikes because they're in hell or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Vegeta tells him, you know, you've gotten stronger while I've remained you've gotten stronger while I remain the same. He doesn't understand why he gets to be more powerful than him when he's the prince of all Saiyans. He has the more tactical advantages. He knows what to do in battle. He knows the weaknesses of his opponents. And yet, for some reason, he still is just a simple Super Saiyan, and Goku is this powerhouse.
Right.
And yeah, I'm going to let you go ahead and say, get in there on that.
Sure. And I mean, I'm also glad you brought that up, because like you said, Vegeta always has something to aspire to, even though it becomes infinitely frustrating for him knowing that he's never going to be right there on Goku's level. Because once he reaches that level, Goku's on the next one, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, this idea that we as human beings always have this goal of becoming stronger and actually being the strongest or the best at what we do. But there's always going to be somebody, even if we don't know them or never met them, who's going to be one level ahead. And to go back on what you were saying about Deku, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like the kind of characters that you enjoy are the ones who you get to see start from scratch and actually develop themselves into that powerful character, that powerful being that they aspire to be. So like not just being great from the get-go, like Superman, because, you know, how Superman became Superman, but if I'm not mistaken, there's not a lot of time spent on his backstory. Like, he just comes in and he's this amazing dude. Whereas with a lot of anime characters, or at least in the case of Deku, you actually get to see how he went from just being this wimpy crybaby kid to becoming this amazing hero that he so desires. So seeing how that goal is accomplished is really the meat of the story. And it sounds to me like those are the kind of characters and kind of stories that you appreciate.
I appreciate that. But there's also the immoral characters as well that I somewhat appreciate. Mm-hmm. I do want to mention a YouTube channel, and it's called Super Eye Patch Wolf, and he did a video on what makes a good character design, and right. he talked about Brad from the indie game Lisa the Painful, and how Brad was this abuser, and he had this really, really ugly life, and he was really a bad person. Mm-hmm. So when the war ended, and now they're in this post-apocalyptic world, one of the characters is the last female character in the world. So she's kidnapped, and he has to go find her. Now, she's already accepted her role as the last female in the world, and she will eventually, you know, give birth to the next generation of people. And she mm-hmm. accepted that. But he goes through all these people killing and torturing people just to get to this girl, because of the fact that what Patchwolf said, Brad saw this girl as his redemption, his way of redemption, of where he can, you know, forget all the bad things he's done in his past and now make a new life. Okay. And I haven't particularly played the game, but the scenes that he showed in his video, it drove a little bit home to me, because it showed that the hero can always be immoral. You know, you look at the Punisher, he thinks by killing all these villains the world will be safe, but by killing right. villains, you might spawn off another villain that is just as nastier or more nastier than the one before, because you killed him.
Sure.
And so, you know, he came up with a graph, and it's not like a scientific thing, but it was very interesting how he put it. So it has four components. It's virtuous, powerful, immoral, and reliable. So Deku and Gon would be in the virtuous, reliable segment of the cross, because they're reliable. They're reliable because even though they're somewhat powerful, they still are trapped within the rules of the human world. So they still can be defeated. You know, they still can get hurt. They're not invulnerable. To where you see the virtuous and powerful Goku, Kirito, Luffy, Naruto, One Punch Man, these are people that are very, very powerful and virtuous and never do anything wrong. And another way to say that in writing is a paragon. Now, what makes us go down the list is reliable and immoral, which is Snake. Snake is reliable from Metal Gear Solid, but he will do anything in his power to make sure that villain is defeated. He doesn't care.
Love that game.
I know, I love it. Nah, I get caught though a lot, but another segment is powerful and immoral. So you think of Guts from Berserk. Mm-hmm. Guts is powerful, and yes. he will do anything to make sure that he wins that battle or fixes that particular situation. Yes. Or think of Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen. And I'm so glad that Patchwolf mentioned him, because when you look at a character in Dr. Manhattan, you he's just acting upon what he thinks is correct or what he thinks is the natural order of things. He doesn't care about what you think. He doesn't care about how you feel. You know, he might ask you to entertain himself to see what you say, but ultimately he thinks that this is the right thing. And you know, I like those characters because it's not just a simple Superman character where I am this strong, independent guy and I'm virtuous and I never do anything wrong and I'm just super, super perfect. But then you see characters like Brad from Lisa the Painful and they're so flawed. They're the hero, yes, but they do have baggage and they're not just this perfect person. So it kind of, you kind of can relate to them, relate to those characters.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's interesting that you bring that up because my father is a huge fan of old cowboy shows from the 60s. And those shows are always featuring these spotless guys, these spotless characters who are all about morality and all about doing the right thing. And it wasn't until a little bit later that you started seeing some of the dark sides of these cowboys. It was later shows like late 60s, early 70s, where it really started to be like, oh, okay, this guy's actually kind of an asshole too. It wasn't just a clean record. It wasn't just do things by the book. It was, hey, I'm a human being and I might do something messed up sometimes.
Absolutely. The one thing I did want to address, you know, I have to say one of my favorite categories of anime is harem anime. I know people cringe or I already can hear people groaning from that, but the reason why I love harem anime is because anything that happens in harem anime would never happen in real life. You know, right. For that. So it's just hilarious to see how this happens. But one of the things that I do not like particularly is the male character or particularly the dense generic character. Okay. And it's like a factory where like they just make this character and they just push him out in an anime. He has no powers, he has no abilities, he has no love interest, he has no skills, he has no soul. He's literally a zombie that sucks out the life in an anime because he has nothing to offer to the plot. He's just there and all these things are happening around him, and it's where I just don't understand. Why can you give this person this, particularly if this is supposed to be your main protagonist, your main character, that's going to be the center of your story, which technically he should be creating the action. Why is it that you have him doing absolutely nothing or just basically reacting to other people's actions? That's kind of boring and uncreative. And also in harem animes, they have the guy who's dense as hell. Six girls with different personalities and different hairstyles.
Right.
And different colors. And you mean to tell me you don't think that these girls like you? Why do you think they hang out with you? Why do you think that they are around you? And that's just unrealistic in the real world. If you gave a guy six girls that he can be with and there will be no consequences, you know, other than he'll get them pregnant. I don't think any dude would say no to that. They'd be like, I can have six girlfriends and no one would care. Sign me up. You know.
Right.
And then,
so tell me your thoughts on Tenchi Muyo.
Say again?
Tell me your thoughts on Tenchi Muyo since you brought up the issue with the harem.
Tenchi Muyo, I when I first saw it as a kid, it was like the most bestest thing ever. But then now,
right.
As an adult, it's like, wow. It's one of those things where you're kind of like, I can't believe I actually like this. And Tenchi is somewhat of that same character in a way. He's this innocent, unassuming guy who he just gets really flustered when a lot of the girls, especially the space pirate, gets around him. He just won't allow himself to be he won't allow himself to be a guy. And okay, if a girl comes on to you and she's flirting with you, flirt back. No, that's just too much. I know I can't do that. That's wrong. It's immoral. And it's like, how is that wrong and immoral when it's your natural thing? I would like to.
Yeah.
So I one of the favorite one of my favorite animes is High School DD. Issei Hayato breaks every single stereotype that the natural generic male protagonist does. He admits that he's a pervert. He admits that he wants a harem. He admits that he wants to be the harem king. He likes multiple girls touching him. He likes boobs, which is very significant
Right.
what he is. He likes girls in sexy outfits. He wants to have sex. He wants to lose his virginity. And as much as grotesque as some people think this anime is, it's realistic. That's the point. It's realistic. Many guys, older or younger, can kind of relate to one of many of Issei's personality traits. It's not just, okay, you put yourself on this character and now you'll feel like you're this character. No, it's where Issei is allowing not only himself, but also the male audience to say, you know what? I do like girls. You know, I do like boobs and sex. Why do I have to always act like I don't? And I think, you know,
Right.
I think we need more harems like that. We need more harems where the cat protagonist isn't afraid to say, okay, I like girls. Or is it so dense where it takes 25 episodes for him to pick a girl, or he doesn't pick a girl at all?
Right. And to just to break the cycle of this ignorant, clean dude who doesn't think about sex at all, it can be refreshing. Yeah.
I mean, to me, I think that what makes a character male, particularly a male character, is the more humanity. Like Deku, people get inspired by Deku. I've seen a lot of people who like Deku so much because he's this paragon who will never give up. You see that in a lot of characters because they are weak. They are very, very much human. Issei is technically the weakest in his particular family. You know, he even though he gains the boosted gear, which is a sacred gear which gives him the power of the Welsh Dragon Emperor, he's considered one of the weakest Welsh Dragon Emperors in existence, period. So even when he has more power, he's still weak, but he continues to push forward. Versus this Kirito-like character that's so overpowered to a point where you're like, why haven't they like busted out the game now? They're trapped in this game
Right.
somewhere on online, and you're supposed to know everything. You're the beta tester, so why is it that you are taking so long to get out of this game? I mean, you look at an example of Sword Art Online 2, where the final boss, with a final fight, where that fight was so uneventful, where he was blocking every single attack. I was like, well, okay, then why are you even fighting him? Just kill him and just move on.
Yeah.
You know, I think that writers need to pay attention to some of these things, where you see these tropes and you see these overpowered characters. Now, make no mistake, you can do a great overpowered character. For example, you have Overlord. He is a great overpower. Ra's al Ghul, Ain's al Gold is a very good character. I might have butchered his name, but Lord Ain's is a very good character because you can understand why he's so overpowered, and it doesn't feel like he they're tr they're It doesn't feel like a Kirito, you know. It doesn't feel
Sure.
like a Kirito at all. You un he is he still can be defeated. And if you look at season one, he was almost defeated by one of his own servants who was technically mind controlled, but still it shows his intelligence. It shows that this guy ain't the ain't any This person is not a person that you should take lightly, because with Kirito, it was just like everything he does is just perfect, and he never loses. And the only thing that he had was like he made took made one guild die because they didn't know he was a beater. With Aang's, with Lord Aang's, it's more of where people are trying to beat him, but he also adds the plot. He pushes the plot forward. You get what I'm saying? He doesn't just sit there and allow people things to happen around him. He pushes the plot forward. He makes moves, and he's confident in what he does, and he doesn't care that he has everything in the world. He's still going to beat you and take you over. And yeah, I would love to hear your thoughts on that as well.
As far as characters who easily overpower people, I think One Punch Man
Yeah.
is a very good
Yeah, that might
example.
be.
Now, granted, that's kind of the point of One Punch Man to begin with. It's supposed to be almost comedic, the way he's able to just quickly just knock the hell out of an enemy and that's it. Just one punch. And his whole deal is, why can't I find somebody who can challenge me? Why can't I find somebody who I can actually have a fight with and not be bored with, So I guess with One Punch Man, the irony is that we see him as this dude who's always just knocking folks out, and it's so easy. It's like, oh, it's too easy. He won too easily. But that's the point of the show, which I guess makes it funny in the long run. Characters who just kind of sit still in their development, they just win things too easily, like with Tales of Zestiria of the X. Characters whom I think are really cool, but the first 12 episodes, a lot of Sore's battles were just too easily won. And I'm thinking to myself, there's so much magic and grandioseness in this show, but this seems to be going too quickly, where we're not really seeing much development in the character. We're just seeing a lot of easy battles won. So as cool as the anime looks, I kind of stopped in the middle because of that. Now, I may jump back into it to see if anything's gotten better, but I totally know what you mean, where characters seem to have this issue of, are we gonna just watch you do the same cool thing over and over again, or are we gonna watch you actually have problems?
Definitely. And I think that for me, I'm not only doing Elon, but I'm also doing a manga, which will be the second manga, which will probably be my first one I'll probably publish, which will be it's called No One Wants to Be a Healer. And it's based upon MOBA gaming, like a League of Legends, Paragon, Smite. And now recently Paladins and Smite and Paladins and Paragon. Those three I've played very religiously. Now, not so much with everybody getting so good and me more or less spending more time on the story. But it's more of a comedy story of making fun of a lot of the gaming communities and like the hackers, the grifters, the Twitch models, making fun of a lot of the stereotyping as far as what gamers are supposed to be and how they're portrayed in the media. And these the story goes is that it's a world where the story is actually based in the Elon universe, and where that the government has seen all these gods and demons and monsters rolling around, so they create these suits. But the problem is, no adult can actually use them, or actually, no person can actually use them because they're not compatible with the suit. So, the suits were sent out to find compatibility, and eventually, they found out that a lot of young adults were very compatible with the suits. So these are different types of suits. Some suits are strictly just a sword. Some suits are give you flight and abilities, but they're all prone to each type of archetype in a MOBA game. So
I see.
our main character is for right now, I'm naming him Marcus. I'm gonna probably change the name eventually, but Marcus is an African American. No, he's an African American Asian guy, because in this story, the United States and Japan have become one nation. So he's a healer and he has specific suit which turns him into sort of like an angel. Now you might think
Okay.
after hearing this, oh, this person might be just the nicest person in the world. He's an angel. You know, what could go wrong? No, he is, imagine a younger Vegeta. He's rude, he's arrogant, he doesn't care about people, and he actually doesn't like the suit that he's given because he thinks it's a sissy suit. He doesn't like wearing it. He wants to wear something more masculine, like a knight's armor or a black swordsman. But this is the only suit that's compatible for him, period. He can't try any other suit on. So he so one day he's visited by this manager of an all-girls team, and they recently lost their healer because of the fact that in these games and battles, just because they're wearing the suits doesn't mean they can't get hurt.
Right.
So this girl was critically hurt and injured. Their team, the girls' team, is one of the worst teams in the league, and they're the laughing stock of the league. People actually are telling them they need to find a new healer. They need to just give up while they can. And so this manager is asking this guy who's won two championships already, can he join their group and be the first male to be on their group? If, you know, and it's the way I'm going to write it is going to be a very funny way where he doesn't just join them. It's a couple of chapters where he kind of says no, and he doesn't really want to join, and it comes down to where the entire team has to beg him to come onto the team. And
Oh,
I
wow.
think that when you and it this is a harem manga, but I wanted to make my protagonist not the same boring character. And I think that's the gist of what we're getting at. A lot of animes and mangas tend to gravitate to one trope or another. They don't take parts of a trope and mix them up. They don't try new things. And what happens is you're getting
Correct.
sort of the same old with, you know, Ero Manga Sensei, Oremu, a lot of the harems that are getting into like the lolicon sister thing, which was weird. And that's been a lot of that stuff has been coming out lately. And ultimately, it's where I think if you look at the industry itself, they're running out of ideas. They're running out of things to make up. But they're so afraid of
Sure.
taking that risk and making a character that isn't in their traditional strategy of making a story, that they rather make the same character than to put a new character out and then it flop and then they're sitting there bankrupt. So I think that in the anime industry needs to come out of the 1970s and come out to the year 2018. We're no longer in the 1970s where anime was starting to come out and people were excited for it. We're now in 2018 where anime is now actually becoming more popular now and more people are wanting to know about it. Why not make better characters in male characters? Why not make better characters in female characters as well? Because a lot of female characters are annoying. For example, Misa from Death Note, don't know why she's there. Just absolutely don't know why she's there. Asuna from Sword Art Online, completely useless. Once she starts falling in love with Kirito, she completely becomes this damsel in distress. And I'm like, okay. So you took a really strong warrior girl and made her into helpless girl who can't save herself. I mean, she's supposed to be a very, very, very powerful general. And now she's this helpless girl.
Right.
And as much as we hate to admit, you know, girls aren't as portrayed as strong as they should be in anime. And that's the problem with those companies because, again, they're stuck in that 1970 mentality where boys are the heroes, girls are the damsels, and they don't know how to switch the role properly to make it to where the boy can be somewhat of the damsel and the girl can be the hero and they can still get a love interest in, out of it. But yeah, I'll let you speak on that because for me, it's just, I don't know what's going on with the anime community, anime industry or the manga industry, but they need to, I think they need to take a moment and kind of look at some of the anime like Overlord, like High School DD, and really take the time to maybe change their characters.
Sure. And I mean, based on what you're telling me about this, no one wants to be a healer manga that you're developing, it sounds like you're right on point because you were saying what that it's a harem story, but from how you were describing your main character, I was actually kind of thrown off by the fact that you said it's a harem story because I wasn't expecting it to be that way because the way you were describing him, it didn't seem like it was going to be just like another Tenshi Muyo.
Right.
So when you said harem, I said, oh, you know, and it makes sense because you're saying that he's joining this or he eventually joins this all girls team. So yeah, that definitely plays into the harem format. But as far as what the character is like, it seems like a very original idea.
You
It
know,
didn't seem like something ripped off of Toonami or something else.
right. And you know, these girls do actually fall for him, not so much easily, but the guys that they're surrounded by are wimps. I'm sorry. You know, they're wimps. They're
Okay.
not very strong. They have, they're all bark and no bite, you know, basically. And here you have this character who is very not only strong as a player, but also strong as a person. And he pushes them to their limit. He pushes them as teammates because he does not want to lose. He does not, he refuses to lose. He wants this team to be undefeated, period. And they look at him like, well, that's impossible. We can't be undefeated. He said the last team that he was on was undefeated and they won two championships. If they can do it, we can do it. And they didn't understand why this man was pushing them so hard and why this guy was so critical of their movements. He's a healer. He shouldn't be telling them what to do. And when they didn't listen to his advice, they would get embarrassed or they would get in critically injured. Not so much to pull them out the battle, but they would feel the pain of their mistake until where they finally would say, okay, I'll listen to you. I'll listen to what you have to say. And I think that's the type of characters we need to put into anime. You know, strong guys who aren't afraid to put their foot down or aren't afraid to be disliked. Or aren't afraid to actually be hated or loathed, you know, but in time the characters see why he did what he did and eventually do come to attract him, be attracted to him in a natural way. Not here's a guy and here are girls, they all like him. Now go ahead and watch it and enjoy. And I did want to mention one anime that I particularly think is guilty of this. It's Infinite Stratus with Ichika Orimura.
Okay.
He is the most dense character I've ever seen in an anime. You have all these girls around you. They're literally throwing themselves at this man. And he's like, oh no, they're just my friends. No, they're just my friends. Even when they like do something sexual, like they'll throw themselves on him, or they'll ask him to walk to dinner, or they'll push their chest up on him. He'll act super scared and get flustered, and it's just like guys don't really act like that. I mean, unless they're like 13 and they still think girls have cooties or something like that, but guys of each's age are gonna definitely like girls. They're gonna definitely want to be around them.
Sure.
Another thing with anime nowadays, with character development, is that they tend to try to make characters that have this blank slate where you can just throw your personality on to them. And I understand they're trying to give the viewer a really in-depth experience, but it's just not. And it's, you can look, you can take example for that from the anime One Room. One Room is literally where you're sort of interacting with these anime characters, but you're at a POV, a person, a point of view where you're seeing the world through the, as the main character. And the female character will constantly be going through the story as your character is helping one character pass an exam. Or in another story, your main character is visiting his sister. Or in the final story, this main character is dealing with a character that actually sings the theme song for the actual anime. And he's trying to help her become a musician, a famous musician, and get her music out. And I did not like the anime because of the fact there was, it didn't feel right. It didn't feel relatable. It just felt like the creators made a fan service, feel good anime where the guy will feel that he's getting dotted over by a bunch of girls. And I don't want male fans to feel that that's what an anime should be. I get it. You know, any guy would love to be doted by a bunch of girls, but these are fictional characters. They're not real. And I think the anime companies try to push where, like, they target mainly those guys who take it to an extreme and where they fall in love with these characters and they think they're going to have a future with them. For example, I did an episode where there was a kid who was getting bullied and he took up some type of stick or something and he said that he had got an anime on his side. And that's when I said, okay, we as artists and creators need to pay attention to that, because if this kid is screaming, I have got an anime on my side, anime is not going to do anything to stop the bullies. But the fact that he believed that,
right.
The fact that he believed that because he watched anime, he can mimic the powers in anime and the characters in there. And if we're producing these crappy characters, that's going to translate to these kids acting in certain ways. So yeah, it's not everybody, sure. But again, I think overall, the anime industry needs to pay attention to these same old generic characters that have little to no personality, or they're so overpowered to a point where they don't have any struggle. And it just gets to the point where it's very boring. And that's why I'm very motivated to get to finish or get started with Nobody Wants to Be a Healer, because I think when this does get finished or published, I want to introduce something for the community where there are different characters than just the stereotypical tropes, where there can be characters that have personalities, or there can be characters that can be jerks but still have somewhat of a sense of value. And overall, I just want something different. And I think that's what we're all yearning, not just in anime, but video games and comics and in entertainment altogether. We're yearning for something different. We've lived for these stereotypes since childhood. And enough is enough. We have to start getting better at creating stories. You know?
All right. Well, when are we going to get to see some of your great manga? When is it coming out?
Currently working on some of the panels. I mean, I'm not finished just with it yet. I'm still going to probably be working on it for a long while, but I will definitely be announcing when it's finished. And I'll do it by chapter, because that gives a chance for people to read it and they don't have to fall behind and read 15 chapters while they've just now started the story. So as far as it being done, not anytime soon. I'm a person that likes to take their time with their stories and make sure everything is right. But I'm sure. Telling you, as soon as it's finished, you're definitely going to enjoy it because it's going to be, everything's going to be where it needs to be. And all the characters are going to be exactly where they, how they're supposed to be portrayed. So give me a little bit more time and I'll definitely have it done.
All right. Well, for people who want to know where they can find you, let them know.
You can find me on Twitter, Anime Savage, Richard Keys 92. You can also follow Animeganation, Animeganation 92, I believe. I also have a email, Animeganation 493 at gmail.com. If you guys have any questions about the podcast or if you guys have any questions about character development. I also have a Instagram, just Animeganation at Animeganation, and you guys can see some of the pictures that we have on there. Not many right now, but sooner or later we're going to get into conventions and interviewing people and putting some of their manga and manga covers on to Instagram as well. And that's about it.
All right, dude. Are you going to be heading up to any of the conventions this weekend?
I'm going to try to. I mean, you know, I definitely want to try to get to more conventions. Specifically, there's a convention that's going to be happening in my hometown. It's called Steel City Con, and they don't just do they don't just do comics; they do anime as well. And we also have a Japanese society in Pittsburgh as well. So I want to get involved with them, and overall, just continue to try to make change in this community and motivate people to not be afraid to create their own stuff, but also invite other fans to be open to watching anime. It's not this crazy, obscure, taboo thing where, you know, society has painted it where these 40-year-old men who are living in their mother's basements watching these weird sexual things. No, there are actual normal people from 5 to 5 to 40 who not only watch it but make it. So I encourage people out there, if you've never watched anime, if you've never watched comics, even if it's just the Marvel or DC, because both companies have anime as well, take a chance and watch. Pick something that you think you might like and watch it. Yeah, might be something out of your comfort zone, but now that we live in 2018, I mean, really, can we say anything is out of our comfort zone? I mean, we have such a diverse generation right now and such a diverse country that I don't think anybody can say, well, I don't feel like it because it's not normal. Our country is definitely not what it used to be. I mean, you think back to the 1970s, America was a completely different place. But now we have gay marriage. Now we have people who can become women. Men can become women. Women can become men. So with that being said, take a chance. What do you have to lose? You know, and if you don't like it, you don't have to watch it.
Word. All right, Animonga Nation, it's always a thrill talking to you.
All right.
We're definitely going to have to do collaborations in the future. I really enjoyed this talk. For all you listeners out there, thanks so much for checking us out. Hope you guys have a great 4th of July holiday. And if you're listening to this after 4th of July, I hope you had a great 4th of July holiday. Anyway, my name is Chuck. This has been the Anime Storytelling Podcast. Have a good one, y'all. See you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.